ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 66, Pandraka, the False Vasudev. Text 6. Yani Twama Machchanani Maudhyad Bibarshi Satvata Chakvaiti Mam Twam Sharanam Noche Dehi Mamahavam Yani Twama Machchanani Maudhyad Bibarshi Satvata Chakvaiti Mam Twam Sharanam Noche Dehi Mamahavam Yani Twama Machchinani Maudhyad Bibarshi Satvata Chakvaiti Mam Twam Sharanam Noche Dehi Mamahavam. Ladies. Students.
Thank you.
Yani.
Yani.
Which.
Which.
Swam.
You.
You. Asmat. Our. Jinani. Symbols. Maudyat. Out of delusion. Bibarshi. Carry. Satpata. O chief of the Satpatas. Jyakva. Giving up. Ehi. Come. Mom. To me. Tvam. You. Sharanam. For shelter. Na. Not. U. Otherwise. Chait. If. Dehi. Give. Mama. Me. Ahavam. Battle. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O Satpata, give up my personal symbols, which out of foolishness you now carry, and come to me for shelter. If you do not, then you must give me battle. And of course, this is the message from Poundrika. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti again interprets Poundrika's words according to the inspiration of Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Thus they may be understood to mean, out of foolishness I have assumed an imitation conch shell, disc, lotus, and club, and you are maintaining these by allowing me to use them. You have not yet subdued me and gotten rid of these imitation symbols. Therefore, please mercifully come and liberate me by forcing me to give them up. Give me battle and grant me liberation by killing me. Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganajana Salakaya Chakshurli Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhye Bacha Patitano Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this is a very interesting story of Poundrika, the imitation Krishna, imitation Vasudeva. He was actually considered imitation Vasudeva because he was imitating the forearm form of Krishna or Vishnu or Vasudeva. Now, in this purport, we hear how it's explained that by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that his words can have two different meanings. And in Vishwanath's purports, he explains in detail how the Sanskrit is used in such a way that it can either be interpreted literally the way that Poundrika means it, or some of the words can mean almost the opposite. So in other words, by stating, give up my personal symbols, it can also mean that I have assumed an imitation of these personal symbols, and that Krishna should take them from him. And of course, that's exactly what will happen, as we'll see later in the story. This is a very interesting story about how Poundrika dresses up and exactly imitates Krishna. Down to the detail, we'll hear about how he has the jewels, everything exactly like Krishna. A very good imitation, although Prabhupada explains it's a little bit, what's the word we would use, tawdry, or a little bit, it's a little bit second rate. It isn't exactly like Krishna, it's kind of like cheap imitation. You know, as an actor, like if you were doing a play and you kind of had, well, whatever wardrobe you had available, it's not like a, Hollywood production with, perfect wardrobe and jewelry and all of that sort of thing. But at any rate, Poundrika wants everything that Krishna has. He wants his power. He wants to be worshipped. He's actually basically asking everybody to come and worship him and accept that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that this is not uncommon. It's not that there's only one very strange person named Poundrika in the world and that we never encounter this anywhere else. No, actually, many people try to assume the position of God in many different ways. And we'll talk about that a little bit today, about how this tendency to imitate God is there in the conditioned living entity. Because of our enviousness of Krishna, we try to take his position in many ways. In the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada begins talking about the story of Poundrika, and he explains a little more this principle. Srila Prabhupada says, the story of King Poundrika is very interesting because it proves that there have always been rascals and fools who have considered themselves God. Even in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there was such a foolish person. His name was Pandraka, and he wanted to declare himself God. Then Prabhupada goes on to explain, in the present day, there are many foolish followers of such rascals. Similarly, in Pandraka's day, many foolish men accepted Pandraka as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he could not estimate his own position, Pandraka falsely thought himself to be Lord Vasudeva. Thus the messenger declared to Krishna that King Pandraka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had descended to the earth out of his causeless mercy, just to deliver all the distressed persons. Surrounded by many other foolish persons, this rascal Pandraka had actually concluded that he was Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these imitators actually begin to believe it themselves. This kind of conclusion is certainly childish. When children are playing, they sometimes select a king amongst them, and the selected child may think that he is actually the king. Similarly, many foolish persons, due to ignorance, select another fool as God, and then the rascal actually considers himself God, as if God could be created by childish play or by the votes of men. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Pandraka's claim to be God, it's just like a children, like children acting in a play. If you all are doing a play and you dress up, and some of you are Krishna, or some of you are Radharani, or some of you are Balaram, of course you know you're really not. You're just playing that part. But see, Pandraka was playing a part like that, but he thought he really was. It's kind of like if you're in a play and you got to be Narada Muni, or you got to be Krishna or Balaram, and you walked away and you told all of your friends, I'm Krishna now, I'm Radharani, I'm Balaram. I mean, you would seem very foolish. So this is exactly how this Pandraka is acting. He's pretending and acting like he's Krishna or Vasudeva, and he believes it. And he tells everybody else, and even more amazingly, he gets other people to believe him. So he has his whole city that believes him. He has his ally, the king of Kashi, who's going along with this. You know, yeah, this is Vasudeva. He is incarnated, and he is spreading his mercy. Everyone should worship him. So this actually happens. I don't know if it's so popular now. For some reason, I don't hear so much. But around the time that Srila Prabhupada came to America in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, this was very common. Those of us who are around or a little bit older will remember. Weren't there many gurus? And there were, I don't know if we want to even give them the... you know, the benefit of even mentioning their names. You know, we don't even want to give them that much credit. But there were several of them, Guru this and Maharaj this and that, who were, you know, who came to this country, and they had many, many followers. And they presented themselves as incarnations or, you know, all sorts of different things and all kinds of different claims. So this is, you know, fairly common that these many spiritual leaders would actually say that they're God. And of course, because it's basically Mayavadi, in effect, the what's also told the followers is you also can become God. You can become like me. I've become God, and you can become God if you follow me. So that's very attractive to foolish people who don't understand, you know, the real essence of life and understand that our position is to be servant of Krishna. So some of these gurus even would perform little miracles. There's one that he actually lived up until just a few years ago. I think he passed away. And he would create ashes or flowers, right, out of his hand or out of the air. And people thought he was God because he could do these things. But actually, these are rather minor mystic powers. I was in New Vrindavan and giving class on the 11th canto, 15th chapter, which I hadn't read for a long, long time, and I didn't realize that that chapter is called is about achieving mystic powers. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, there's 8 major mystic powers and 10 minor mystic powers. There's 18 of them, and it tells you in the Bhagavatam, that chapter, how you can do them, how you can get them. Of course, the way that you get them requires these incredibly intense meditations that nobody in Kali Yuga could ever do. So you don't see a lot of people with these. But some of these are like Ishita's city. One can manipulate Maya. And through the Vashita city, one is unimpeded by the 3 modes of nature. In other words, one can completely defy the laws of nature through these mystic cities. And through this other one, one can obtain anything and go anywhere in the universe. Now, the minor ones, these are just the minor ones. One could do things like hearing and seeing things far away. You can know what someone's saying on the other side of the universe, on the other side of the world. One of them is you can move your body at the speed of mind. I could travel anywhere throughout the universe just by thinking about it. And another one is you could assume any form you desire. You know, like, what do they call it? Shape-shifting or something? You can become any kind of shape or any kind of form you want. And these are just the minor mystic powers. So what is creating a little bit of ash or creating a flower? It's actually, you know, just a very kind of small mystic trick. And the important thing to understand is while these seem very extraordinary, like they're very wonderful things that people can do, they're all based upon manipulation of the material energy. It may be very subtle and may be very powerful, but it is still simply the material energy and different ways that one can manipulate that material energy to gain some power or have some control. And we know that as long as one wants that power, that control, it's a material impediment to pure devotional service. It's not the real thing. It's not bhakti. You know, it's simply another way of trying to have the power of Krishna, have the opulences of Krishna without serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, another way that people imitate Krishna, you don't see this in America very much, it's certainly you can find in India, is this what Prabhupada calls the Prakriti Sahajas, or people who take Krishna consciousness very cheaply and they try to imitate the pastimes of Krishna, as though they could enter into the Rasa dance and these other things, that they can become part of it without having the spiritual qualification of being a pure devotee and being in that very advanced stage in one's eternal constitutional position. That's not something that one does easily or lightly. It takes one to be completely purified to even think about entering into the pastimes of Krishna, and what to speak of those who try to imitate the position of Krishna, which is, of course, very bad. Srila Prabhupada talks about this, and he says, Shukadeva Goswami warned that the conditioned followers who are not actually in control should never imagine imitating the uncommon activities of the controller. This is in the chapter on the Rasa dance in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's in the Krishna book, I think. A Mayavadi philosopher may falsely claim to be God or Krishna, but he cannot actually act like Krishna. He can persuade his followers to falsely imitate the Rasa dance, but he's unable to lift Govardhan Hill. You know, Prabhupada likes to give that example. They say that I'm God, I can do things. So just lift Govardhan Hill. Just lift the small mountain for us to show your powers, but they can't do that. And we have many experiences in the past, the Mayavadi rascals who delude their followers by posing themselves as Krishna in order to enjoy Rasa Leela. And of course, there's a famous story about Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was a magistrate, that there was this one person who was claiming he was Krishna, imitating the Rasa dance, and of course, obviously had materialistic desires fulfilling through that. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised him, arrested him, and stopped him. Now, of course, we can't do that so much today because, you know, we'd probably say it's his freedom of religion or freedom of speech, you know, to go out and perform the Rasa dance. But anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to take care of this rascal. It's interesting. I was just remembering when I was preparing for class, when I was in Miami many, many years ago in the 70s, I think we went out to the beach with the kids. Were you there, Jai Reddy? Oh, you weren't born. Well, you weren't born yet, were you? Okay, it wasn't you. It was another daughter we took out. Anyway. see how my memory, you can't even remember which, you know. Anyway, I was at the beach, and of course, I was, you know, I had a shaved head, and, you know, looked like a devotee, and neck beads and the whole bit, and this young man, long hair, beard, and everything, you know, came up to me and says, oh, you're a Hare Krishna devotee. I said, yes. He said, well, good, because I'm Krishna. So I don't know if I was supposed to offer my obeisances to him at that point or whatever. And I said, really, you're Krishna? Yes, I am. And he was absolutely convinced he was Krishna. He was probably intoxicated or something. But, you know, he had a whole philosophy about being Krishna. And, you know, it's like just because Prabhupada had always said this, I said to him, I said, well, can you lift Govardhan Hill? And he says, I don't, I could, but I don't choose to. I said, well, can you do anything? Can you show us a few miracles or just do something that shows me a Christian? Well, if I did, it would disturb the minds of people. So anyway, you know, he had all these excuses why he really could do these things, but he chose not to and wasn't going to show me at any rate. So, you know, somehow I didn't really believe him, you know. But, you know, this is a kind of rascaldom. You know, you don't think about that people really, but I actually, you know, it's funny that I actually met somebody who went around saying he was Krishna. And the interesting thing is some people, of course, are just cheating. And sometimes they actually, as Prabhupada said with Pantrika, he believed it. They believed their own delusion after a certain point. So this is what's probably more common, what we encounter more in this material world, is that people try to enjoy like Krishna. We're imitating Krishna, but not by saying, I'm Krishna, but acting as though we were the controller and we are the enjoyer. So this is what we more commonly see. Srila Prabhupada says in Purport Srimad Bhagavatam 3:27-23, similarly, the living entity's conditional life of material existence is due to his desire to lord over material nature and due to his envy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, his main diseases are he wants to be one with the Supreme Lord or he wants to become the Lord of material nature. So Prabhupada is saying here in this purport that there are two manifestations of this envy of Krishna, of wanting to be like Krishna or enjoy. One is to want to enjoy the material energy, thinking oneself the enjoyer, the controller, everything here is, you know, everything I survey is mine, everything is for my pleasure. And the other manifestation of that is to want to become one with God. This is the Mayavadi philosophy. In other words, material energy may be frustrating. I may or may not be able to enjoy this material life, so I will just become one with God. You know, and a lot of spiritual philosophies lead to this conclusion. A lot of these gurus and different people that came, the conclusion was, yes, you will ultimately become God. You will become one with everything. Now, it's interesting because both of these positions require that one minimizes the actual position of Krishna. In other words, if you are going to become one with God, then what is God? God becomes relegated to simply some energy or some light or some power, because obviously you're not going to become the controller of the universe. So what are you going to become? You know, by being God just means I'm going to sort of merge with everything. I'm going to become one with everything. You know, so that, you know, if that's the position of God, that's not really much of a position, is it? There's really, you know, it's really minimizing that Krishna has any particular control. Or if one thinks that oneself is the enjoyer and the controller of everything, then it's also saying that there's really no God who has ultimate power. And of course, the ones who are the most envious are those who are outright atheists, and they show the most envy of Krishna by denying his existence. So either one says, there is no God, or I'll become God, or I don't know if there's God or not, but I'll act like God by trying to enjoy this material energy to the best of my abilities. This is our material disease. So the root of this problem is really envy. Our envy of Krishna is the reason we come to this material world, the reason that we leave Krishna. So somehow or another, because of that original envy of Krishna, we are come to this material world with the opportunity to try to control or to enjoy like Krishna. If we're not willing to accept Krishna as the master, if we're not willing to accept our position as his servant, then we try to assume that position ourselves in either great, large ways or very small ways. However it may be, somehow or another, we try to do that. So the quality of a devotee is the devotee wants to give up our envy. The devotee wants to serve God, to serve Krishna, not to be the master ourselves. Now, that may be difficult, and we may not be at that stage fully and purely yet, but that is the desire of the devotee. And not only is that the desire of the devotee, that's the qualification of the devotee. Krishna says to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, in the first verse of the ninth chapter, my dear Arjuna, Because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge. So chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita is called Confidential Knowledge, and it begins with the qualification to hear this confidential knowledge, which is anusuyave, without envy. So Arjuna has this quality of not being envious of Krishna, therefore he's qualified to hear the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And that's what qualifies us, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and this Vedic philosophy. If we're able to hear non-enviously. So in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when it's talking about the spiritual master, is that 434? What are the qualifications? There are two qualifications that are mentioned there, right? How does one have to hear from the spiritual master? Right? One is with submission, and the other was, what is it? Rendering service. Service attitude and submission. In other words, taking the humble position, giving up an envious position or envious attitude. So submissively, without envy, and also with service. So service is the key to becoming non-envious, to giving up envy, to reestablish our relationship as Krishna's servant. So how do we learn to serve? Through serving, through practice. Sadhana bhakti is devotional service in practice. We know that any skill that we want to learn, we have to practice. We may have some talent. Let's say that we can sing or play an instrument. But you don't just have a nice voice and you get up and lead the bhajan or lead kirtan, do you? You have to practice. You have to learn to play the instruments. You have to, you know, learn the words. You practice at anything. Anything that we want to become skilled at or good at requires some practice. So learning to be a devotee, to learn bhakti yoga, requires the practice of bhakti yoga. It's as simple as that. We learn to serve by serving. And of course, we have a very specific process of serving that is given to us by our acharyas and by Srila Prabhupada. Processes of Shravanam Kirtanam, of hearing and chanting, the five primary processes of hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place. This is given by Rupa Goswami, and this is the practice of bhakti that's given by all the spiritual masters. So there's no real mystery. Prabhupada says this process of bhakti yoga is simple but sublime. In other words, it's very simple to do. It's actually very simple to understand, but yet it is sublime. It is very deep. It goes very, very deeply, deeply to the heart, to purifying the heart of all of these anartas, including the envy, including all of the misgivings that are there within the heart. They're cut by the sword of knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so one is able to take up this process of Krishna consciousness and actually become a devotee, become a servant of Krishna again. So this is the great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, the simple process of Krishna consciousness, which allows us, to give up all of these false ideas and return to our original position as servant of Krishna. So I'll stop at that point if there are any discussion, comments, or questions. Chitari, crew?
I believe, I haven't read that part before, but he actually had some like prosthetic arms or something with
something like that, yeah.
Whenever I've seen that image in my mind, I'm thinking, how would you convince yourself that you're that person if you've got to put this extra thing? Or was he just into trying to convince others, but didn't they?
That's a good question. And I've always kind of wondered about that because I heard someone said they actually grew the arms, but I don't know if that's true or not. If he actually grew, if he grew the arms, or whether he, you know, put on these like cardboard arms or whatever it was. But Prabhupada says in the first part I was reading from Krishna book that that he did believe it. He said, surrounded by many other foolish persons, this rascal Pandrika had actually concluded that he was Vasudeva. And then he says his conclusion is very childish. So yeah, he had somehow convinced himself by dressing up like Vasudeva that he was. And then the other foolish people believed him. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, let's bring the microphone over.
Saying that in the Sanatana's commentary that it's mentioned that, I haven't read it directly, but Prahn and others who have read it said that he had some kind of muscular arms that actually were made of flesh.
And he was actually, yeah, manifested some arms from his body, yeah, who knows.
If Bonasaur could have 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, none of these things are impossible. Yeah. Trivikram Prabhu?
We find the scientists now are in the scientific realm. They try to cut all notion of God so that they can be the chief authority in the world. Can you comment on that?
Say it once more.
They try to eliminate God.
Eliminate God.
Yeah, yeah. So, in one sense, they become the authority.
Yes, exactly. World. Yeah, if there is no God, if there's no higher power, then you may as well listen to me. You know, I have as much knowledge as anybody. In fact, the scientists, you know, I've said this several times before, but, you know, when you look at, you know, Prabhupada's, you know, talks and things like that, and everything he sort of said, even in his books, he really does not criticize like other religions and other people. There's two categories that Prabhupada reserves most of his criticism for: Mayavadis, because they are misleading people, and the material scientists, same reason. You know, because they have the power to convince people, because they present their information as authoritative, and it can be very, you know, there's this what is that? Oh, it's Richard Dawkins. It's one scientist. I mean, he wrote a popular book called The God Delusion. I mean, this is what some of them are writing. And these are people who are highly respected scientists, and they're openly stating atheistic philosophy, openly stating that basically all of you are in delusion who think that there's some God, that there's something, you know, beyond this interaction of material elements. And so it's very unfortunate. And they are listened to more and more in our society. And they become the authority, yes. Yes. Everybody wants to be an authority. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.